The U.S. Chemical Safety and Hazard Investigation Board held a town hall meeting yesterday at UW-Superior about the Husky Energy Refinery explosion and fire on April 26th. This public meeting was requested by five members of Congress, including U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin. We're talking about what happened at the town hall on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's bring in Danielle Kading. She's covered every development in the Husky disaster. She's WPR's reporter based in Superior and the host of the regional program Hear Me Out. Danny, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Kate.
Well, before we go into what happened at the town hall yesterday, take us back to that April day when the fire and explosion rocked Superior.
Yeah, so at around 10 o'clock in the morning, there was a large explosion at the refinery. And investigators have said that that occurred in the fluid catalytic cracking unit, which is used to transform crude oil components like hydrocarbons. It's basically cracked. The molecules are cracked and transformed into gasoline or a substance like gasoline. And as part of that process, there was a valve that was supposed to be closed and prevent a flammable mixture from forming, because there are two separate parts of this piece of equipment, and they want to keep those hydrocarbons in one part from mixing with air in another part. Otherwise, an explosion can happen. And so what ended up happening is that this valve became worn and allowed air to flow backwards. And that caused the explosion, which sent debris flying throughout the refinery. It punctured a nearby asphalt tank that had about 50,000 barrels of asphalt in it. And about 15,000 of that spilled into the refinery and later caught fire. And then that fire burned until about just before 7 o'clock in the evening that night, and caused, you know, a temporary evacuation of a large portion of the city.
So we seem to really know quite a bit about what happened here. What big questions remain now after the smoke cleared?
Well, I think there are a lot of things that the Chemical Safety Board is continuing to look into. You know, they're looking at the circumstances that led to this situation, which was similar to another refinery incident in Torrance, California, that involved ExxonMobil's refinery. That also had a worn valve that was used. But investigators say it's not clear whether, you know, a new valve might have prevented this. It's unclear how long a slide valve can operate constantly and maintain that barrier to prevent flammable mixtures from forming. But and the investigator, Mark Wingard, said, you know, we have refineries across the U.S. that are operating every day using the same process, and we're not constantly seeing explosions. This particular unit at the refinery had been in operation since 1961, and they had not had an incident until now. So they're still looking at a lot of the actual circumstances of the explosion. They're also talking with the refinery about staffing and safety management processes and procedures to see, you know, whether or not everything was as it should have been.
Danny, how has this disaster, this incident, affected Superior over time?
That's a good question. I think people immediately were just going through the motions of the evacuation and doing what they were told to be done by authorities. But I think over time, people, as they've learned more about what happened and about what was contained at the refinery, they feel kind of shocked. Some people at the hearing yesterday expressed the fact that they didn't know that the refinery used this type of chemical, hydrogen fluoride, which was within about, there was a tank of it within about 150 feet of the explosion. And so I think over time, people have gone from feeling that everything was taken care of as it should be, to asking more questions about how things were done and what things could be improved to make Superior and the Twin Ports and the surrounding area more safe moving into the future.
We're talking with Danielle Kading, WPR's reporter based in Superior. She's been covering the aftermath of the Husky refinery disaster and a town hall meeting yesterday. You can join in with your questions and how you feel. 800-642-1234. Superior residents, how did the explosion and fire affect you? What concerns do you have moving forward? And what questions do you have about the investigation? 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. So, Danny, federal officials offered an update on the investigation as part of yesterday's meeting. What were the latest takeaways? You had started talking about hydrofluoric acid.
Yeah, I mean, there were questions that were asked by the board members about hydrogen fluoride in the tank on site. They asked a variety of questions about the layout of refineries and, you know, if these units are subject to explode every once in a while, maybe the hydrogen fluoride tank should be located far away from this actual unit. But it that chemical is used as a catalyst in the process. So I'm sorry, Kate, I forgot your initial question.
And, well, we have some tape here. CSB board member Rick Engler, let's hear from him.
There's enough, I think, consensus among many, although I certainly think there will be disagreements among industry management on this, that hydrofluoric acid alkylation poses a potentially severe risk to communities. And the CSB needs to take very seriously some type of action steps to move this question forward.
So is the Chemical Safety Board going to rein in companies in their use of hydrofluoric acid?
I think it's definitely something that they're looking at as part of the investigation into the incident. You know, the actual explosion itself began in the fluid catalytic cracking unit and then was caused downstream after this flammable mixture was allowed to form and found an ignition source. So they're going to be looking at a variety of things. They're constrained to looking at the facts of the case, and those in the refinery industry that were there yesterday talked about how the Chemical Safety Board really needs to focus on where the problem was, what caused the explosion. I think now that there's a lot of heightened awareness about the use of hydrogen fluoride, that there are different perspectives on whether or not that is a good chemical to be using right now. Obviously, communities surrounding these facilities have raised questions about the safety and feel that there are better alternatives that could be put in place that would still allow the company to operate and not put the community at such a risk. While the refinery industry says, you know, they meet and exceed regulatory requirements for using hydrogen fluoride.
The Chemical Safety Board held a town hall meeting yesterday in Superior. It was a time for the agency to provide an update on its inquiry into the Husky Refinery April explosion and fire. People could make comments there for the record for up to 3 minutes. We're getting takeaways from that meeting with WPR's reporter in Superior. Danielle Kading stays with us. You can join in with your questions and your situation 7 months after the disaster. 800-642-1234. What questions, concerns do you have moving forward? What questions do you have about the investigation? Call in, tweet us, WPR Mornings. We'll pick up the conversation in a minute here on the Ideas Network. We recall the images of that black plume of smoke from the Husky refinery fire in Superior. A set of explosions ripped through the refinery, developing into a giant fire, spreading black smoke for miles. The Chemical Safety Board opened an investigation and provided an update to the public yesterday at a town hall meeting in Superior. We're finding out what was said here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. WPR's reporter in Superior, Danny Kading, stays with us, getting your questions, your thoughts on the investigation. They're welcome, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Danny, that hearing included the option for people to make public comments on the record. What was the mood of the room?
Well, I think the majority of the comments were kind of angry, and they demanded action on hydrogen fluoride. People, you know, some people talked about where they were on that day, the smoke and the smells, but really most of the comments surrounded the use of that chemical and how they felt it should be removed. You know, both mayors here have called for it to be removed. And, you know, a lot of community members voiced frustration with public officials because they feel leaders should be putting more pressure on Husky to transition away from hydrogen fluoride.
What was turnout like at the meeting?
I would say there were at least 100 to 150 people at the meeting during the first part of it the other day. You know, there were fewer people that came back after the lunch break, mm-hmm. but there were a good number of people who were there. Not all of them spoke. I think it was only about 24 people that actually spoke at the meeting. And there were only, I think, 2 people who spoke on behalf of the refinery. And that included the Husky electrician and union district director, Atticus Larson, and also an industry representative for American Fuel and Petrochemical Manufacturers, Jared Hawes.
So going back to the hydrogen fluoride, what's been the relationship between community members and city officials when it comes to this issue? Are they on the same page?
Well, the two mayors of Duluth and Superior, Superior Mayor Jim Payne and Duluth Mayor Emily Larson, came out shortly after the explosion and fires and said that they wanted the refinery to look at other safer alternatives and called for the removal of hydrogen fluoride. But activists in the area have questioned whether leaders in the area are, you know, holding up to that stance and are, you know, talking with leaders at the refinery to, you know, really kind of push them to move away from this chemical.
Let's hear from one of those voices, Ginger Jewell, co-founder of the Twin Ports Action Alliance.
Jim Payne doesn't want to talk about hydrogen fluoride anymore. Jim Payne has told constituents as recently as last week that hydrogen fluoride is less dangerous than automobiles.
So that is very accusatory. Let's hear from Superior Mayor Jim Payne.
We want to keep a refinery in the city of Superior. It is valuable to our economy, but we must make sure that we are protecting our citizens, our employees, and our first responders before any other consideration.
So what is the dynamic here, the push-pull over this issue of hydrogen fluoride?
Yeah, I think that there is a lot of frustration on both sides. I think for the activists, they want to see everything done to, you know, everything in their power to remove this chemical from the refinery. There's a lot of fear surrounding it. They don't want it there. They want to reduce the risks to the community. And I think in trying to convey that message, they have put off members of the public and public officials, that they have been very, as you said, accusatory, and that is being met with pushback from elected leaders. You know, they have said that, you know, some of these claims of the actual risks of that day and the fires and the explosion and hydrogen fluoride releasing have been overblown. And I think that is, to some extent, you know, there's this figure floating out there that there is a kill zone of 180,000 surrounding the refinery if that hydrogen fluoride tank were to be released. But that's if the tank was completely full.
Well, isn't that about the population of Superior?
That is not the population of Superior. The population of Superior is about 27,000, the village. But, you know, going back to this hazard risk mitigation plan that the county has put together, they have identified that in a worst case scenario, that an area of up to 26 miles could be evacuated.
Uh-huh.
But that is the worst case scenario. On that day, there was not as much product in that hydrogen fluoride tank that would warrant, you know, evacuating rural Douglas, St. Louis, or Carlton counties.
A mass evacuation. Yeah.
So I think that people who are afraid are saying, we need to do something about this. And public officials are saying, you're making people scared. And there's just a disconnect there of how to go forward and improve safety in the area.
So let's look at employees themselves. The Husky plant has about 180 employees. How are they doing and what are they saying?
The employees? Well, yeah. So we don't hear a whole lot from Husky workers in the area. Sometimes they will come out to the public meetings. The union district director, Atticus Larson,
and we
for
have
Husky.
We have some tape of that. Go ahead and set it up.
Yeah, he was there at the meeting yesterday, and he spoke about issues he'd like to see addressed with training and safety and procedures at the plant.
Let's take a listen.
And although Husky is new to the employees, and we are really still getting to know each other stage, I believe Husky will do it right. And do it safely. Husky has been a class act. They have done this to this point, everything they said they would. They have followed every recommendation, to my knowledge, that was given to them from outside agencies.
Husky is new to the employees. We're really still in the getting to know each other phase. Help us understand what he's saying here.
So Husky bought the refinery in November of 2017 mm-hmm. from the former owner, Calumet. So there's some questions there as to whether or not Husky adopted some issues from the former owner and is now dealing with those. And one of the things that Atticus Larson talked about was culture change. And he sort of hinted that maybe the culture at the refinery right now isn't what it should be, and that more should be done by management and by Husky corporate to address that so that they can improve safety, improve training, and improve operations at the refinery.
Is there a sense that broader recommendations may come from this investigation? Will this investigation advance safety?
I think that the investigators and the board members are looking at any takeaways that could be learned, you know, and applied to the industry as a whole. One of the things that they talked about was that worn valve that led to the explosion, and looking at that further and seeing if there are any recommendations that they can make so that the industry as a whole is safer in operating, especially across communities that still have refineries with hydrogen fluoride being used there.
And Danny, how long do investigations like these take?
These investigations typically take a year to about a year and a half. So sometime next year, the CSB will issue their final report, and that could extend into the fall.
Does the CSB have the ability to issue penalties here?
No, they don't. Their authority really lies with making recommendations on improving safety across the industry and operations. They don't issue fines like OSHA did, although OSHA, the worker safety arm mm-hmm. for the federal government, did issue fines to the company back in October of around $83,000 for 8 serious violations of safety procedures.
So we had this town hall meeting. What comes next for the investigation? Where does it go from here?
Well, now they're going to take some of the information from the meeting and continue to look at those issues that board members ask questions about, like staffing and safety management processes and procedures. You know, they're continuing their investigation. They've interviewed more than 50 people and gathered more than 14,000 documents. And so they're going to continue to go through all of that and look at other instances that have occurred at other refineries and kind of compare and examine, you know, what might yet be improved as a result of this incident.
That's a lot of documents to go through.
That is a lot of documents.
Where does your reporting go from here on Husky? What are you watching for?
Well, obviously, I guess the outcome of the investigation, I think people want to know how Husky is going to respond to public criticism over the use of hydrogen fluoride. They have said that they have hired a design contractor and that they're looking at alternatives to hydrogen fluoride, but they've not made a commitment to transition away from that chemical, although there's a lot of pressure on them to do that.
Well, Danielle Kading, thank you so much for taking time for us.
Thanks, Kate.
Danielle Kading is WPR's reporter in Superior, host of the regional program Hear Me Out. For more on the public meeting, you can also listen to Hear Me Out, a regional program hosted by Danny at 10 a.m. on Fridays, which will review this hearing, and the audio will be posted on the Hear Me Out page at WPR.org. Stay with us. You're listening to the Ideas Network.